Gulliver's Travels, A Voyage to Lilliput. I was born in Nottinghamshire and was the third of five sons. My father was not a rich man, but he is able to send me to Cambridge University, where I had studied for 3 years. When I left college, I continued my studies and became a doctor. But I always wanted to travel. So, I made several voyages as a ship's doctor. When I married my wife Mary, however, I planned to stay at home for a while. But after a few years, I discovered I was not earning enough money from my patients. I decided to go to sea again, and this time, I joined the ship sailing to the islands in the South Pacific Ocean. We started our journey from Bristol on May the 4th, 1699. At first, our voyage went well. We sailed across the Atlantic, round the coast of Africa, and into the Indian Ocean. But before we could reach the Pacific, a violent storm hit us and drove us to the northwest of Tasmania. The wind drove our ship onto a rock, which broke the ship in half. Some of the sailors and I managed to get a boat into the water, and we rowed away to look for land. But when we were too tired to sail any more, a great wave hit our small boat, and we all fell into the sea. I do not know what happened to my companions, but I suppose they are all drowned. The wind and waves pushed me around as I struggled to keep my head above the water. I became very tired and soon felt I could not swim anymore. Luckily, just then my feet touched the ground. I walked out of the sea and onto a beach where there was no sign of any people or houses. I was so exhausted that I lay down and went to sleep. When I woke up next morning and tried to get up, I could not move. I was lying on my back, and my whole body, my hands and legs, were strongly fastened to the ground. Even my hair, which was long and thick, was tied to the ground. The sun began to grow hot, and I was very uncomfortable. Soon, I felt something alive moving along my leg and up to my body to my face. And when I looked down, I saw a very small human being, only 15 centimeters tall. He had a bow and arrow in his hands, and there were 40 more of these little men following him. I was so severely surprised that I gave a great shout. They all jumped back, very frightened, and some hurt themselves by falling off my body. Meanwhile, I was struggling to unfasten myself. But just as I managed to pull my left arm free of the ropes, I felt 100 arrows land on my free hand and more arrows on my face and body. This was very painful and made me cry aloud. I lay quietly to see what would happen next. When they saw I was no longer struggling, they quickly built a platform next to my head, and an official could line up there to speak to me. Although I could not understand his language, I understood that they would be friendly towards me if I did not try to harm them. By now, I was extremely hungry, so I used sign language to beg the official for food. They seemed to understand me, because immediately ladders were put against my sides. A little man climbed up with baskets of food and drink. They were surprised how much I could eat and drink. In just one mouthful, I ate 3 of their meat dishes and 3 of their loaves of bread. I drank two of their barrels and one was still thirsty, because there was only half a liter. While they are bringing me food, I wonder whether to take out the hand of the little men and throw them to their deaths. But I was afraid they would shoot at me again. Anyway, I was grateful for their kindness in giving me food and drink, so I did not move. After some time, another official climbed up to the platform and spoke to me. The king of this country, which was called Lilliput, had ordered his people to carry me to the capital city about a kilometer away. I made signs to ask me whether I could be untied, but the official politely refused. While I was eating, a platform had been prepared to carry me. The people of the Lilliput, known as the Lilliputians, are very intelligent and clever with their hands. For me, 500 men built a special platform with 22 wheels. 900 of the strongest men worked about 3 hours to lift me onto the platform, and 1,500 of the king's largest horses, each 11.5 centimeters high, pulled me to the catapult. I did not know about any of this because they had put a sleeping powder in my wine and I was in a deep sleep. The king had decided I would stay in the largest available building just outside the city gates. Its door was only 1 meter high and 1/2 meter wide, so I could only just get inside with my hands and knees. My guards put 91 chains on my left leg, so I could not escape. Then they cut the ropes they tied me, and I was able to get to my feet. As I stood up, I heard cries of astonishment all around me. I felt rather miserable, but at least I could walk about now in the 2 meter circle. I was certainly an interesting sight for the Lilliputians, who had come out of the city in crowds of several thousand to see me. Now I had a good view of the countryside. The fields looked like flower beds in the garden, and even the tallest trees were only 2 meters high. I was soon visited by the king himself. He has a strong, handsome face, and he is very popular around his people. He arrived with his king, his children, and his lords and ladies, all dressed in beautiful gold and silver clothes. In order to make conversations easier, I lay on my side so that my face was close to him. I spoke to him in all the languages I knew, but we still could not understand each other. The king ordered his people to make me a bed, using 600 Lilliputian beds. It was not very comfortable, but it was better than sleeping on the stone floor. He ordered his crowds of sightseers to go back to their homes, so that the work of the country could continue, and I would not be annoyed. For a long time, he discussed with his lords in private what should be done with me. I was told all this later by a good friend of mine. Clearly, such a large person could be a danger to his small people. At last, it was decided that, as I behaved so well up to now, I would be kept alive. Food and drink would be brought to me every day by all the villagers. 600 people would be my servants, 300 men would make me a new suit, and 6 teachers would teach me their language. And so, in about 3 weeks, I began to speak the language of Lilliput. The king often visited me, and every time he came, I asked him to take off my chains. He explained that I have most promised not to fight again Lilliput or hurt Lilliputians, and then that I must be searched for weapons. I agreed to both these things and carefully picked up two of his officers in his hands. I put them first in one pocket, then moved them to all my other pockets, except two, which I kept secret. As they searched, they wrote down in a notebook details of all the things they found. Afterwards, I read some of their report. In the second coat pocket, we found two very large pieces of wood, and inside them were great pieces of metal, very sharp. In another pocket, there was a most wonderful engine at the end of a long chain. The engine was inside a huge round container, which was made half of silver and half of another metal. This second metal was very strange, as we can see through it to some mysterious writing and pictures. The engine made a continuous loud noise. The officers could not guess what these things were, but they were, of course, my two pocket knives and my watch. They also found my comb, a purse with several gold and silver coins, my gun, and bullets. The king wanted to know what the gun was used for. "Bring it out," he ordered me, "and show me how it works." I took the gun out and put a bullet into it. "Don't be afraid," I warned the king. Then I fired the gun into the air. It was the loudest noise the Lilliputians had ever heard. Hundreds of them thought they were dead and fell down. The king himself was very frightened. As I gave my gun to the officials to keep, I warned them to be careful with it. They allowed me to keep all my other things, and I hoped that one day soon I would be free. Thank you for listening. See you next time.